Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, assalamu alaikum to my Muslim brothers and sisters, and greetings of peace, tranquility, and abundance to everyone else. Yes. Well, I am Nazim Rashid, author of Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. This is a fantastic evening. Yes, fantastic. You know, I'm so grateful for being able to make this presentation to you on marriages. One of my favorite subjects, because I see the problems we're having out here with so many people being afraid of marriage, and I understand that, and getting married for the wrong reasons. And when they get into a relationship, a committed relationship, a marriage, they don't know what to do. They don't even like the person. You know, we get married for a reason because someone said you should get married, or you got your religious leaders who said you have to be married in order to be accepted in this community. Yeah. Make you feel small, even ostracize you if you're single. So you said, man, good God Almighty, I have to get married in order just to be okay here. So you have all this guilt feelings, you know, about marriage. And so you jump into a marriage, you know, so you can be accepted by the group. Accepted by the group, right? So that the group says, okay, you're okay now. Hey, brother, you're okay. Sister, you're okay now. Yeah, so you feel okay in the group setting. But what happens when you go home? You don't even like the person. Don't share the same, beliefs, even though you might be in the same religion. Doesn't mean you follow the same beliefs or not, you know. So you got other things going on. You're a vegetarian, she's a meat eater, and she can't stand vegetarians, and you don't like meat eaters. I mean, like, all kind of things happen when you don't investigate what you really want and really know yourself better. And are you prepared for it in the first place? So we have all these things that goes on in your mind and should be sorted out before you get married. Yes, you have issues from when you were 8 years old and never got resolved. That is ruining your marriage, ruining your chance for getting married, getting in the way. You have all kinds of things. You know, your father abandoned you when you were 9, huh? And you have a big void, big emotional void, and you want to satisfy the void in the marriage. Sisters, you know, you want the husband now to be the father, you know, that you never had, and to do the things a father does, you know. So that doesn't make for a good, happy, healthy marriage. So this is why it's very important to investigate what happened in the past. Look at what happened in your childhood years and see if you have an emotional void that you haven't filled yet. We should all go into marriage with a clean slate, ready for responsibilities, the roles, you see, and ready to become merged. That's what marriage means. You're merging your life with someone else. It's like having two circles. Imagine two circles. They come together and they intertwine, okay? That part in the middle is the marriage. You have a little bit on each end, the right end and the left end. So you have some of yourself and some of herself that remains you. But the majority of your circle is now a married self. A married self. So it becomes the unit. So you don't want to do anything that disrupts the unit. Nothing. Okay? So you don't just make decisions to go someplace on your own without consulting. You don't do those kind of things. Everything has to go to the unit. Does it benefit the unit or does it not benefit the unit? Partner for life, a prosperity partner. Yeah, as a matter of fact, in my book, Reconnected, I have that in my introduction here. Dedicated to my wife, my prosperity partner. Absolutely. My business partner, prosperity partner, my abundance partner. Absolutely. Yes. So you got to see yourself in this kind of position. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of people talk about, well, but that kind of image only on TV, only on the Cosby Show, only on these kind of shows that show these ideal marriage situations. It doesn't happen in real life, brother. I'm telling you, it does. It does happen like that. Yeah, like Cosby's. There are doctors and lawyers, brothers and sisters who are black, doctors and lawyers marrying one another and having a wonderful, happy, healthy family. It does happen. You see? Now, if you want a healthy, happy family, you have to envision that in your mind first. Happy marriage, you want to envision that first. What does it take? What does it take? And then find a couple that has that. You see? Yeah, they're out there. They're out there. Just ask yourself, what kind of qualities do you want a wife to have, and or a husband for your sisters? Okay? All right? What kind of qualities? Okay? And ask yourself, do you have those qualities yourself? You know, very important. All right? Yes, you do that. You know, a mother and father, same thing. Say where you had a broken home, things weren't working well there. And of course, you carry those hurts and wounds into your marriage. So you ask yourself, what kind of mother would you have liked to have? What kind of father would have been a good fit for you? And you list out the qualities. List them out. You see? And find someone who has those qualities. Could be a next door neighbor, cousin, could be an uncle, could be who knows what, you know? Yeah. You might go into a certain community and you find one of the pioneers that's, you know, they've been married for 60, 70 years. And you see that brother there has the qualities of a father that you never had, has the qualities that you love. Yeah. Emotionally attentive. You want that. I want someone to mentor you, show you the way, show you how to become a man. Yeah. And his wife, she has the qualities that you've always been looking for in a mother. Yes, she has those qualities. Knows how to connect with you emotionally. Knows how to help and support you. Huh? Loves you deeply. Loves the spirit inside of you. Yeah, she loves that. And she said, man. And then what happens by you having them, then create in your mind a parents like that. Create in your mind that you had parents like that. You see? Yeah. And you want her, you know, the mother, to tell you that it's quite normal, natural, and wonderful to feel good deep inside you. You want her to tell you that. At the core and in your quiet moments, see, you should have good feelings about yourself. So she's going to make sure you do have that. Place a high value on your existence and that you have a God-given right to be happy. Yeah. So you want these parents to tell you these things. See, it would have been healthier for you if you had been told that you are a great, unique, special creation that God had put on this earth to perform miracles. God has given you a mission, a talent that belongs to you exclusively. God has certain blessings he has created for mankind, and he wants to deliver them through his special creation, you. Now, wouldn't that feel good if your parents told you that? Yeah. So you find this couple, you know, this pioneer couple that does that with you. And you say, oh, man, here I am. So you see, once you have in your mind, you know, the experience of having parents like that, then you get married, you bring all those good feelings and reconciled feelings with you. Remember, when you go through this process, you no longer have this emotional void from your real parents, from your real mother, your real father. You no longer have that. Now you're fine. You're satisfied. You feel good. And you can give that to the marriage. Yeah. So you spend so much time in school, you know, learning our trade. If you want to become a lawyer, learning over years and years and years and years and years. Unpaid intern work. All kinds of things like this in order to become a doctor or a lawyer. But we don't spend any real conscious time learning how to become a good husband, a good wife. Yeah, we sit up in religious meetings and every so often we hear about the roles of father, roles of mother, roles of husband, roles of the wife. But I come into details. If you have reconciled issues, that never comes up. You never hear, well, you know, brothers and sisters, if you have issues with your parents at 9 or 10, you got to take care of that before you get married. If you got emotional wounds that never got healed, take care of that before you get married. You don't hear that. That's very important for you to hear. Yeah, for sure. So we got to take care of that. You know, we should love ourselves. That's why this book, Reconnected, you know, all this is in my book, Reconnected. How to Really Love Ourselves. Please get this book. It's Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Barnes & Noble has it. Amazon has it. If you have Kindle or Nook, you can get it downloaded that way as an ebook. My website, after the three W's, cloudsofabundance.com. Cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. All right? Yeah, very important. Cause we, you know, we need to feel good. We need to experience feeling good. By ourselves first. Yes. By ourselves first. And then loving that state, we will attract into, you know, our area, you know, the mate that feels good by herself or himself. You know, and then both of you get married in a healthy way, not carrying baggage, not carrying those addictions. And we're going to talk about some of that today. We've been talking about addictions for quite a while. This is part 20 of the Improving, Repairing, and Preparing for Marriages. And I talked a lot about addictions and character defects. Yeah, so we don't bring those things. We don't bring those character defects, those addictions, those enabling issues, hatred, resentment, rage, all those character defects. We don't bring those into the marriage. See, so it takes a lot of time. A lot of time. Tell you, if I was a religious leader in charge of marrying couples, I would say, before I marry you, you got to go through these steps. I'll lay out the steps in this book. It's personal growth issues, reconciling issues from the past, write down, you know, characteristics that you like in a mother and father, and husband and wife. I would have my prospective couple write these things down. How they felt about the mother, the father, all those things. And reconcile all those issues. Siblings, yes. If you had a fight with your cousin and that's ruining your relationships, I would have them write that down too. Yes. Because we don't want to bring any of those wounds, any of those issues that have been unreconciled into a marriage. Because I'm telling you, you bring that into a marriage, it will negatively, adversely affect that marriage. Of course it will. Yeah. So we don't want to do that. We're going to go ahead and clean. Yes. Not needing the other person. Willing to share your life with this person. Okay. Willing to be fine all by yourself. You know. But, you know, you want to feel completed. You know. And you want to share because now, you got yin and yang going on. I'm good at this. Oh, good. I'll do this. She said, I'm good at this. Okay. You'll do that. And you will create your own roles by what you're good at. I can't cook. My wife cooks. Oh, she cooks then. I'm good with the car. She's not. I'll take care of the cars then. So you take care of things that you have a strength and inclination in to do those things. You see? It's just natural. No one's micromanaging anybody's life. You're not telling her what to do. She's not telling you what to do. You're not telling her what to wear. She's not telling you what to wear. No. Both of y'all know already. You just do what you know is best. Huh? Makes sense? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So we got to understand this. We can turn this whole statistic around for divorces. You know, 120, it was right below 50%. Now it's way over 50%. Emphasis, as you know, is on the weddings. You hear a great deal about the weddings, the feelings, the glow, the friends, the gowns, suits, the wedding venue, the biggest diamond ring, the fun, the excitement. But you don't hear anything about what it takes to have a committed, long-lasting, healthy, happy marriage. You don't hear about the joy attained from a spiritually connected, committed relationship. You don't hear about how commitment carries over the challenging hurdles and how loving the spirit inside connects you to each other, no matter how the exterior changes over time, and it will change over time. Yeah, you can't say, boy, it's just, you know, I love those full cheeks. I love the your lips. I love the arm. I love this tan. All those physical things. Over time, those things change. Now, what are you going to love now? If that's all you love, then your love is gone. You see? Yeah. You know, so you don't hear about these things, these committed things I'm talking about, because it is not in the fun and exciting category. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You see what's happening on TV. You know, all those things are mentioned, but never talk about the joy attained from a spiritually connected marriage. You don't hear about that. It doesn't get ratings, you know. Oh, no. Got to be all the drama. all that. See, so very important to understand what I'm talking about. We need to, you know, we need to hear this message more. Understand what's really real. You see? Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, last week we talked about emotional balance is very, very important. Very important, very bad in prayer, you know. And you know, we have to assume that your spouse is a praying person and you too. You know, prayer is very, very important. It connects both of you to our Creator. That's very important. Yeah, yeah. You low imbalance, well, check your prayers. You see, that's very, very important. Okay? Now, I promised last week we're going to talk about meditation and how that affects marriages. Now, some of y'all meditate, you know, some don't. And I'm not saying that meditation is a requirement that you have to do. You know, you don't have to meditate in order to have a good marriage. But in this whole series, and it's 20 right now, installment 20, I'm giving you tools that can help a good marriage. Because what happens, meditation clears the mind. Yes. Some of us have some emotional issues. We get mad easy. Our wife or our spouse, you know, husband, they push those buttons. We say, you start getting enraged. And you do it without thinking first. Yeah. You know, most of our brain is emotional. Did you know that? We will only have a small part in the front, the prefrontal cortex, that's responsible for logic, thinking, discernment. Most of the brain, rest of the brain is, you know, 2/3 of it, emotions. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got the mammalian brain and reptilian brain. Yeah, cold-blooded and warm-blooded animals. We have a similarity with those animals, you know, absolutely. And what happens, if we don't consciously go to the front of our brain, we're going to hang out in the back where the emotions are, you see. So we do things, you know, without thinking. And we say things to our wife or husband that we don't mean. We have to apologize afterwards. You see, some of you go to extreme of actually, hitting her or she hitting him physically, causing problems, you see. Broken jaw, bloody eye, whatever, you know, all this in the hospital. And then you have nerve to go there and say, I'm sorry, Dad, I didn't mean to do that. I don't know why I did that, you know. Or you might go to the extreme by saying, now, dear, why did you make me do that? Now, you know I love you. Now, why did you go and make me do something like that? You know I don't like doing this, but you did it. Like, why do you do that? You see? So we got problems. So the idea that meditation can calm the mind clear out the cobwebs, so to speak, and allow you to think more clearly and rationally. So you can go to the front part of the brain and use that part and think before you act. Yeah, meditation. You know, for you Muslims out there, you always got to remember talking to a universal audience, but for you Muslims out there, you know, we have Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who was meditating in the cave when he heard the first revelation of read. It grew in Arabic. Read. He was meditating there. You see? So meditation is a very, very, very good way to reboot. An excellent way to reboot yourself with a blank slate for the day. You see, absolutely. Since the mind abhors a vacuum, we will fill itself with something. So you have empty, you know, you have to empty the shells of yourself every day, perfectly in the morning. Yeah, you want to empty yourself. There are always things lurking around in your mind, so after prayer or before prayer, you need to take some time, maybe 15 additional minutes, to allow your mind to empty out and put full concentration on God. Yeah, yeah. Focus on our source. Focus on who created us in the first place. Distractions will be there, but you have to pull yourself back to your objective every time you notice the drift. It is okay to continually pull yourself back as if there is a tug of war going on. That happens to me all the time. With repeated meditative sessions, you will get better and better at holding your concentration. I've been meditating for, I can't remember when I started now, you know, over 20 years, maybe 30 years. I still have distractions, you know. You know, every time you feel yourself being pulled away thinking about the your checking account or your wife or your job or the house duties. You know, you got to pull yourself back. You know, pull yourself back. Always going back to, you know, to God. You see, you know, God, and think about all of God's attributes and what God has done for you, what He's continually doing for you. Yes, just meditate on that. Staying in a state of gratitude and humbleness. Yeah, stay right there. People, some people do it for hours, you know. You know, I've done it for, I can't remember how long as I've done it, 40 minutes maybe. But, you know, I've meditated, you know, like I said, I've meditated for many years and still get distractions. But I look at the results always. After about 15 or 20 minutes of repeating my mantra, which I say Allah, that's my mantra, I feel a deep sense of relaxation and filling up of God's spirit. Yeah. I even experience my body physically resonating with my heart rhythm as my head sometimes bobs up and down with my heart. So I focus on the heart. Focus on the heart. Yeah. Pull all your energy into the heart and feel your heart beat all over your body. Yeah. Now, there was one time that I actually had an out-of-body experience. Yeah, that was interesting. I only had it once. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was very different. I was hovering over my body looking down as if I was on a ceiling, noticing everything in the room from that high position. I reflect on that experience often, trying to figure out what the meaning and purpose was for me. I still don't know what that really meant. But it was very interesting. It is always a good idea to start the day with a conscious input of God's spirit, and then you know that you have a good foundation for the day. Instead of stuff and residue from yesterday's events and feelings, which can influence your new day. Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, I know a lot of people are listening on Switchboard, so if you want to join the conversation or ask a question, you can always hit number one on your telephone, and I will see it and bring you right in, okay? All right. Now, how do we know when we are properly and correctly studying God's way for us? Because this is part of the, you know, 12 principles of recovery. Oh, by the way, I tell you, for you, those who didn't really hear the last week, let me just not assume anything. Let me go to the beginning of the principle, kind of take off of this. Yeah. We seek through, you quote, we seek through prayer, meditation, and studying God's way to improve our conscious contact with God and to improve our love and respect of God, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives. Okay? This is based off that principle. Okay? So, back to what I was saying, how do we know when we are properly and correctly studying God's way for us? What is God's way for us? We first start with the giving of life. That is our first step in our study, since we know that God created life and is the symbol of life. It is only natural that we use this idea of life-giving as a guide for us and a way to study God's way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the questions arise for us. Is what I am doing helping to perpetuate, promote, and support life? Let me ask the question again, rhetorical question. Is what I am doing helping to perpetuate, promote, and support life? Or is it causing harm to life in any form, even on the level of conversation? Are my thoughts life-supporting, positive thoughts, or are they negative ones? Man, I hope you take note of these things. Are my inclinations toward those elements in life life-giving, or are they death-producing? Spirit within, content with the spirit of happiness, charity, empathy, love of self and others, and compassion? Okay. Now, if your answers are affirmative responses, then you are not only studying God's way, but are in alignment with God's way for you. Man, I hope you heard that. Boy, that's a serious paragraph there. Yeah, buddy. Boy. Now, Reflecting on another attribute or characteristic of God, we know that God as a forgiver. Yeah, God as a forgiver. This is another trait we can use as a barometer to see if we are accepting, studying, and applying God's way for us. Is the idea of forgiving still a foreign concept, or does the idea strike you as warm, desirable, because you know inside that your inner child so needs this? Now, we have to keep in mind that we all have the innocent child self within that did not deserve all the mistreatments that we inflicted on that angel. In that light, we have to forgive ourselves for putting our inner selves through all that hell, all that disrespectful, inconsiderate behavior, illegal activities, drug and alcohol abuse, and shunned responsibilities. Man. Now, included in this category is the low self-esteem we internalize as we accepted abuse by others without standing up for and honoring our inner child and ourselves. Hope you heard that one. We have to also forgive ourselves for the harm, be it physical, emotional, and perhaps spiritual abuse we inflicted on those close to us. Sometimes we don't realize that it is in our own best interest to forgive those who harmed us, even if they never made amends themselves and never acknowledged the abuse. It is not their souls that we are concerned with. It is ours. So when we forgive them, we are releasing their burden from us and are then disconnecting ourselves from them. You see, in disconnecting ourselves from them, we are in essence freeing ourselves from their sin of abuse. Now, their sin is now wholly theirs and doesn't include us anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't it sound good? Their remarks don't bother us anymore. Their anger stays with them, does not move us in any way. Their constant reminders of the past also do not affect us. We only pray that God forgives them and blesses them with understanding for their own sake. We send them light and love. Yeah, it's very personal, man. Even like my family. My family, they love to hold on to the past, you know, and I came up with kind of an emotionally abusive family, you know. No one knew I was hurting. My brother kind of unloaded on me constantly with belittling and berating statements all the time. I'm less than all the time. Even now, everybody's kind of old and I call it seasoned in life now. And they want to bring up things, you know. My mother and brother want to bring up things. You see, they used to really get me upset. But now I just send them light and love. I said, well, they want to, you know, stay with those things and stay with the dark past, so be it. It doesn't bother me anymore. I'm not there. I don't respond to their jokes or their belittling statements. I just send them light and love. See, also, because I know the virtual process of recreating, you know, I just go in my virtual world and deal with my virtual brother and virtual mother. Yeah, you know, I talk about it all the time in my book. I've talked about that quite a bit on the show. We can create anybody we want to create. Yeah. So I can hold on to a brother I created in my mind, just well, I can hold on to my brother here. But what you want. If you want a better mother, you create that one and you hug that one. Yes, you can do this. Yeah. Excuse me. God is also known as a source of peace. The term as-salam in Arabic. You know, that's what that means, you know, God's peace. You know, he's a source of peace. This is yet another way for us to study God's way for us, internalize and align this spirit with ours, and live a life with peace at its core. This improves our conscious contact with God, improves our love and respect of God. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Again, The questions are laid before us to ponder. Is my action right now leading to a sense of peace? Yeah. Is peace my objective as I am discussing and having a dialogue of personal conflict with someone? And when wrong is inflicted toward me, is my demeanor and attitude one that is consonant with peace being the ultimate outcome? Can others depend on me to receive some measure of peace for themselves? Yeah. Am I known to be a person with a peaceful nature? Do people feel at ease and peaceful in my presence? Are my thoughts and inner spirit consistent with the idea of peace within and without? Those are good questions. I'm telling you, you need to ask yourself. Ask yourself these things, you see? You know? Now you know. So the topic is how we prepare, you know, prepare and improve ourselves for marriage. You know this is right in the pocket. You know this is. All right? Now another attribute of God is love. This is a very good concept that has tremendous benefits. The first metaphor that comes to my mind is the sun. Yeah, the sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, the sun provides light and energy for everyone. This is a great symbol of God's love for us and a great way for us to reflect this way in our own lives. Mm-hmm. Now, just as the sun shines on everyone. Yeah, you know that, don't you? You can't say, well, that person is no good. Right into the core. Why does the sun shine on them? God knows that person's evil. He gets the sun, too. I don't like that. Think how you sound. Yeah. Well, just as the sun shines on everyone, our love shouldn't be relegated to just a certain number or class of people. Our love should be for all of humanity. That's right. Even with the sun metaphor, someone could run indoors or hide themselves from the sun and not receive the benefits of the sun. Yeah. Some people can reject your love for them openly or subtly. But look, their rejection or your thinking that certain ones will not accept your universal love should not concern you. You still put your love out there with your smiles, well wishes, and God's forgiveness of them. They don't know. Just like the sun, your love is there for everyone and every living thing. When you see flowers along the side of the road, your love goes out to them. When you see horses play amongst each other in the corrals, your love goes out to them. When you see people who are against everything that you represent, your love still goes out to them. For it is not those people you are trying to please. It is God that you are aiming to please. So, we honor the spirit of love by demonstrating it in all areas of our lives. We love the spirit of life, and that spirit of life resides in all, including those who are transgressing their own souls with their internalized negativity. Yeah. We're naturally going to show more love to those that return love toward us, but we don't want to hoard all good feelings when we are around the negative ones. We want to always show our best, for we don't know when those other people might be in the space to receive some goodness from us. So whenever that might happen, we want to be ready with our love shining before us. Yeah. Yeah. This is good stuff here. Now remember, if you want to ask a question or join in, just hit number one, and I'll bring you in, okay? All right. There's also the love of our inner self that needs some attention here. Oh. This inner self has needs, and when those needs are not met, we feel the negative results such as confusion, anger, abuse towards self and others, addictions, failed relationships, missed opportunities in life, sometimes poverty, low self-confidence, suicidal ideations, fantasies, you know, lost sense of ourselves in life. Yeah. She's an innocent child. You know, an innocent child spirit within us. Everybody has one. And our child self, that's the physical child we once were, which still resides within. There's a difference there. My book is in the inner child category, but there's no child subcategory. But child self is that physical self you once were, your younger self. Inner child is that spirit, innocent child spirit within. Okay? They need to be honored, be loved unconditionally, fed positive affirmations on a daily basis, and protected from harm. Yeah, how many of y'all do affirmations every day? Positive self-talk. Everybody should do them all the time. I'm telling you, I got a bunch in my book. You see? I'll give you some right now. I'm reading some on my wall right now. One says, I am a divine, magnificent expression of light. That's good. I am one with the power that created me, and I express for myself the greatness that I am. Ooh, that's another good one. I move from success to success, joy to joy, accomplishment to accomplishment, abundance to abundance. I deserve the best. I am allowing only prosperity to enter my life. I rejoice in who I am, and I know life is here for me. It will supply me with everything that I need. Good affirmations. I have moved away from poverty thinking into prosperity thinking. Ooh, that's a big one for us, especially us. I am at peace. Divine peace and harmony surround me and dwell in me. I feel tolerance, compassion, and love for all people, myself included. I trust the process of life. There's a rhythm and flow in life, and I am part of it. Very good. Life supports me and brings me only good and positive experiences. I trust the process of life to bring me my highest good. Ooh, these are good. I am free to think wonderful thoughts. I move beyond past limitations into freedom. I am now becoming all that I am created to be. It is my birthright to live fully and freely. I give to life exactly what I want life to give to me. I'm glad to be alive. I love life. Whew, good. I say out to every negative thought that comes to my mind. No person, place, or thing has any power over me, for I am the only thinker in my mind. I create my own reality and everyone in it. I am mentally and emotionally equipped to enjoy a prosperous and loving life. It is my birthright to deserve all good I claim by good. How about this one? My unique creative talents and abilities flow through me and are expressed in deeply satisfying ways. My creativity is always in demand. Isn't that good? Oh, yeah, for sure. So those are affirmations, and those are just some I have on my wall. But it's important, brothers and sisters, to start your day on a positive note. I start with meditation, you know, and saying these positive affirmations. You know, after you pray or during prayer, have a lot of gratitude statements. Stay on the channel of gratitude. Say these affirmations. A lot of us have these negative scripts in the back of our mind. We ain't that. We ain't that. We no good. Blah, 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 blah. We can't do that. All these can'ts and pessimistic, you know, kind of roles, or not roles, but sayings, you know. Yeah. Place the script. When you say these positive affirmations over and over and over and over and over again, it seeps into the subconscious and becomes the driving force for your life. Yes. The driving force for your life. Yeah, you'd be pushed and prodded, you know, on the path of progress and production. Yes, absolutely. So I talked about self-talk on some other installments of this program. We got to be able to tell ourselves the righteous, positive statements, you know, that God created us to be in. You know, God created us in excellence, by excellence, for excellence. Okay? So our talk needs to be on that level. When we see ourselves in the mirror, say, oh, praise due to God, look at you. Boy, I'm looking at what God created. God did an excellent job in creating you. Look at you. I'm so proud to be you. God created you for miracles. I'm going to enjoy this miraculous day with you today. All right, give me a high five. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, yeah, you do. You know, you're all by yourself anyway, so do it. Why not? See, yeah. It's very, very important. See, when this is done, when you do this, that inner child rewards us with confidence. You start feeling good deep inside when you do this. The rewards don't stop there. Oh no, we also get better relationships. I'm telling you, yeah. You might say, well, just saying some words. Hey, look. You're putting new seeds into your subconscious. Yes. You want these seeds to sprout and grow into your life and start running your life on a path of production, path of positivity, path of optimism. And then you have your good wife, good husband, and everything else too. Absolutely. So you'll get better relationships, better personal and professional opportunities. Yeah. Higher education, and more respect from your peers. Yeah. See, we have that special smile when we look into the mirror, thanking God for what he has given us, the skin we are in, the personality that we have, and the soul that fills us from within. When others might attempt to disrespect us with their misdirected mannerisms, we just deflect that energy somewhere else, and we do not let that affect or nor disrupt our spirit. Every time we do that, our inner child smiles and rewards us with good feelings all over. Yeah, we got to change our mindset, brothers and sisters. So too many of us are stuck on a pessimistic channel. Yeah, we got, you know, backstabbing, we got the crab mentality. Stop it. Love all that. In our religious community, we have fitna. We have this challenge. We got people that, you know, they have so much self-hate. They can't get along. They don't respect leadership. Inside or outside themselves, you know? Yeah, you got leaders who are, you know, in a position, and they are corrupt, taking advantage of the community, mismanaging money. Yeah, we got so many problems, you know? So we got to start here. And when you find yourself rising up, you know, emotionally and spiritually, and you find that your outer life is not doing the same thing, get away from them. You don't have to be in that, you know, called masjid or church or synagogue or temple or ashram. You don't have to be there. If people are not growing there, you go by yourself. You can go in the library, just you and two other people, and then have prayer there. Pray at home. You don't have to be there. If there's an energy there that is diminishing or trying to dampen your spirit of productivity and optimism, get away from there. Just like in 12 principle program addictions, you know, I say that you have to change your environment if you want to change your environment inside. Everything has to change. Friends change, environment change. Sometimes you got to move, go someplace else, because you want to protect your soul. You want to have a clean, safe, you know, sober, productive life. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't depend on the crowd or what the crowd says is okay or what the standards is in the crowd. Don't depend on that at all. Depend on what God has given you. If you have to move away or don't go someplace, don't go. Don't go. Don't let the cultural standards of the group rule your life. Don't do it. Follow that spirit inside. You see? Yeah. Now, last part of this principle, praying for the power to carry God's will out in our lives, needs some, you know, explanation. We cannot do anything unless we have the power, the will, the willing spirit to do whatever is before us to do. Yeah, for sure. The words in the previous paragraphs, you know, words can all sound so good and wonderful, called Pollyanna, you know, but they will have no gas for you if you don't have the Spirit of God in you to actually demonstrate these concepts in your life. See, we all need God's intervention. Yeah. We all need God's intervention in our lives to provide the necessary motivation, these things possible for us. Once we truly submit our will, our ego, our selfish passions to the pure service of God's will solely, we will experience the power of God in our motivations and inclinations. Once we let go of our tainted, spoiled selves, then and only then will we experience the new life that God has promised to his believers. Now, I know that was a big pill, but hey, you know, like those saying goes or joke goes, how do you eat an elephant? Huh? Y'all heard this before, right? How do you eat an elephant? What's the answer? One bite at a time, right? Okay. So even though I've given you a whole lot here, you got to take it one bite at a time, a little bit at a time, you know? Yeah. And like I've always said too before, you know, when I'm giving you some things, you know, some shoes just don't fit on you. Or you know this shoe's good for you, but you're not ready for it yet. You know? So just take what you can handle now. But know, like when you read our holy books, Muslims, Quran, know that you can do it. You don't have the ability, you just don't have the conscience to do it now, but you pray that God enlarges your ability to do more, or to accept more, to actually demonstrate more in your life, okay? Now, let me tell you, you can't have the new life when you are still holding on to the old one. Let me say it again. You can't have the new life when you are still holding on to the old one. Now, you might say, hey, bro, I left the old life alone, and what you hear, your conversations are always talking about the past. Well, I used to do that. I used to stay on this car. I used to sell it. I used to sell that. I sold that. I outsold you. All this. Hey. I mean, Les Brown said, you know, when people start talking about, I used to be this, I used to be that. He says, well, used to be's don't make any honey. So what are you doing now? Yeah, for sure. All right, you cannot pray for the power to carry God's will for you when you are not willing to let go of the so-called power that you have now. You're holding on to the ways of the old self creates the blockage that prevents God's spirit to come into your life. Yeah. Once you remove the blockage, you then allow the gates to open up. Invite and encourage God to enter your soul, make a home there, and start directing your life. See, God is now the pilot, with you as a co-pilot, riding along with your inner child, both helping you in all areas of your life. All right. Yeah. Now, that reminds me of something that I've heard some other religious people talk about, you know. They want to make God the co-pilot in their life. Make God the co-pilot. I said, no. God is now the pilot. And you're the co-pilot, the worthy co-pilot, all right? Yes, some other religions want to make you seem that you're unworthy, like in that song Amazing Grace. And that might be upsetting some people. I don't like that song. It says, it talks about the wreck you are. I'm such a wreck. You know, save a wreck like me. I'm a wreck. No, you're not. God's spirit is in you. It's a part of your DNA, all in you. God said he's created you in the most excellent fold, excellent mold, excellent form. You're beautiful, fantastic, wonderful, inspired. Absolutely, you're not a wreck. You're God's special creation. He has put on this earth to perform miracles. Yeah, don't go along with that. That bit there, you're a wreck, and God is your co-pilot. No, God is your pilot. Let God be your pilot, and you be a worthy co-pilot. You want to follow along with whatever God says is okay for your life. That's what you want. Absolutely. Now you know you have the power to carry God's will out in your life because God dwells inside, is welcome there, along with a sense of deeply felt peace. Yes, deeply felt peace. See, I'm telling you, You don't hear this kind of talk in the I'm gonna say the masjid, but I wanna to lock anybody else. I'll say your religious house of worship. You don't hear these kind of talks in the sermons and teachings. You don't hear this. You don't hear this. But in order to be a true believer, you really have to have God operating in your heart consciously. Let the reins go. Let God take care of it. You don't know what to do anyway. You look what you've done with your life, thinking you can do it on your own. Ego means edging God out. Y'all know that, don't you? E-G-O, edging God out. You don't want to ever do that. So you want to have a conscious spirit of allowing God to take charge. Yes, yes, yes. That's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you'll find you'll attract the right mate. I know it's about marriage. You'll attract the right mate that way. You won't fall into those old black holes anymore. You'll attract good opportunities, job possibilities and good health. You go to the doctor for your annual, and your doctor says, man, I'm jealous of you. Your blood tests are fine. Your cholesterol is good. You're doing good. Heart rate's wonderful. You're working out, exercising every week. Yeah, very good. And you just feel good about yourself. And this is what you want to have in a marriage. You want to feel good when you go home. You want to feel good when you see your mate. You light up and you hug and you do things together. You dance together. You go out. You work together. You're in the yard together. Walk together. You do things like that and you just feel good. Yeah. Yeah. You can have that. All right. Now we're going to the last principle, our 12 principles of recovery. I'm going through this real slowly. This is why this is the 20th installment. All right. Again, I'm Nazim Abdul-Rashid. Oh, yeah, let me do my little commercial here. My website, cloudsofabundance.com, cloudsofabundance.com. You can email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And you can go to Clouds of Abundance and order this book, Reconnected. I'm kind of reading and talking and expounding from Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child. So, by the way, in case, again, I always remember that some people have not heard Mother Installments. So this book actually teaches how we can go back in time. All through our imagination, I call my virtual process, you can recreate some of the scenarios in your past and change the feelings of what happened back there. They have a pleasant life now. To remove the negativity, the effects of the negativity from your life forever. You can do that all in your mind. Yeah. So I say how to be a mentor. Just imagine yourself. Remember, your child self is your younger self. Imagine if you had your 8-year-old self in front of you right now, 8-year-old younger self, what would you tell that self? To just avoid the pitfalls you fell into? But see, this is what I'm talking about. The book teaches you how to do that in a way as a counselor would, as a trained counselor would. But you need to have this these tools in mind. Yeah, that's why all the personal growth areas you got to go through first, like forgiveness. These are chapters and also steps you have to take before you can go back in time and become that mentor. Forgiveness, validation. How many of y'all were validated when you were children? How many times your mother and father really talk about the greatness inside you? You're born for greatness. You got miracles coming out of you real soon, and you're going to be a great benefit to the world. How many of us were told that as children? Got self-esteem. How many of you feel good? How many of you feel good right now about yourself? You see? Visualization. How good can you paint the picture of yourself and where you want to be? And also this process of mentoring is all visualization. Going back and painting the scene that you want to have actually lived in as a child. Self-image. You could not rise and or go lower than your self-image, If you see yourself as a grade school teacher, but then somebody gives you a promotion of being a vice principal, that's above your self-image, you will self-sabotage that position and go right back down to becoming an elementary school teacher. Why? Because your image of yourself is at that level and not the vice principal level. I can go on about that, but that's self-image. Communication and listening skills is next. Now, good and well, if more of us had this in order, we stay married. We'd be married, you see. And those who are having arguments and at the divorce stage is because of this most of the time. You ought to know how to listen, don't know how to communicate, don't know how to paraphrase, empathize, be optimistic, don't know how to give confirming feedback, don't understand body language. All that is in communication and listening skills. After that, you have optimism, believing the best, the very best is for you. The very best has your name on it, is coming your way. Gratitude. I talked about that a lot today. Being in a state of gratitude. You know, Einstein was said to have made at least 100 gratitude statements a day. 100 gratitude statements a day. How many can you make? Well, I was in a doctor's office one time and waiting. And one of these long times, I was waiting a couple hours to see a doctor. Outrageous. Anyway, so I said, let me test myself. And I came up with 68. I didn't make 100. 68. Yeah. So it's interesting, And you feel good doing that. Just think of, more things you can feel grateful about. All right, after that, we have faith. We have to believe in an unseen reality. And Muslims, we understand that's part of our way of life. Believing in the unseen. You got to believe in that. There's another reality that God has created for you. Yeah. After that, we have spirituality, which means connectedness to God, reflecting his attributes in our life. Very important. After that, attachments, codependency, and addictions. Talking about that a lot today. Carrying attachments or baggage into relationships. Being codependent, not being secure within yourself. You got to lean on and enable others who are not well, because that fulfills some part of your life. And addictions, we know about that. People, have all kinds of addictions, and we get in relationships knowing that a person has an addiction. And addiction becomes that person's God. Yeah. After that, 12 principles of recovery. And we're in that right now, the last one, actually. It's a good recovery program. It saved my life and many others, and can be used right now in looking at relationships, marriages. After that, we have identifying and managing emotions. That's going to be a fun one when we talk about that one. You're learning how to, actually start today, actually, with meditation. I will talk about that again when I get to that. Understanding how the brain works and what we can do to cool ourselves down even before we get hot. Yeah. And the last chapter is how to be the mentor. Now, at this stage, we can go back in time. We're trained as a counselor now. We can go back and be that mentor to our younger self. Yeah. And I got, role playing too, so you can look at examples. All right. Even with incest, all kind of, horrible situations that you've gone through can be taken care of with this process. So you can change the feelings that you have. Yeah, for sure. Okay. Again, cloudsofabundance.com, and you go on Barnes & Noble or Amazon. Okay. All right. Now, last principle is this. Having increased our level of faith in God consciousness as a result of applying these principles, we are carrying this message to humanity, and we begin practicing these principles in all our affairs. Okay? In all our affairs. Got that? Okay. Now, after our faith and God consciousness has been increased from applying these principles in our lives, we are ready to spread the word and carry this message to humanity. This is very important. So many people have no idea how to have a good, happy, healthy marriage. But when you do, and your wife, or husband, when you do, I'm saying as a unit, help others. Hurry up and find others that don't know. Do couples workshops. Sisters can find other sisters who, don't have a clue. Brothers the same way. We need to spread this message. Our prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, when you learn one letter, teach that. You see, so when you get this down, feel good about it, man, don't keep it yourself. Find some others who don't know, and plenty of us, most of us don't know, and help them. And help them. Real important, okay? You can't keep this new way of life to yourself. In order for us to get more blessings from God, we have to give what he has given us to others. Yes, 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 yes. We don't want to limit our sharing to just certain people. There's a whole world out there that has no idea how to lead a wonderful life free of confusion, fear, depression, and dysfunctional marriages. The general populace has given themselves to greed by any means necessary, lust, adulterous behavior, dominance over others, and worldly power. You see? So as we are practicing and sharing these principles in our lives, we ensure our own sobriety and our own clear thinking. So as we are leading by example, we are demonstrating what faith can produce. What faith can produce. Woo! I'm telling you. If you're not producing anything, you don't have it. When you have increased and increased, brothers and sisters, your possibilities and probabilities also increase. Mm-hmm. You reach new levels of relaxation that you have never known before. Yeah, you can relax more because you have a deeper sense of security and comfort. You see, with a higher level of faith comes a higher level of self-esteem and self-worth. Too many of us feel so bad about ourselves. We can't stand ourselves. I'm telling you, that's why our communities can't grow. We have a self-hate, and we hate others that look like us. You know? You need a hammer, and you got a brother a block away with a hardware store. You go way across town to buy a hammer from somebody else that looks different from you. Yes, you do. You think their hammer is better all because they have it. Get out of it. Stop it. Yes. Again, when you have a higher level of faith, you have a higher level of self-esteem and self-worth. You really believe now that you can accomplish more, give more, and be more for yourself and others. As your faith increases, you get more ideas as to how you can spread this faith to others. Yes, you cannot be satisfied with just having new faith, living a clean and sober life, having good marriage mate, good spouse, be consistently honest with yourself and others, witnessing beauty everywhere, being naturally empathic and compassionate with others, displaying love without conditions. You have to share, I'm telling you. You have to share, reflecting the good that has been given to you. You got to share, affecting and influencing those around you to do the same thing. Yes, each one teach one. When I was teaching in school, I told all the kids that. Once you have this knowledge, you find somebody that doesn't know and you teach them. And teach them to do the same thing. Tell them they have to pass the ball of knowledge around. You can't keep it for yourself. Yes, 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 yes. You see, new faith cannot stay dormant. No, no, no. New faith is like, you know, some kids we know that have ADD or ADHD in the classroom. They can't sit still for any length of time. New faith is a very active spirit and needs adventure to remain solvent. Did you hear this? The new internal faith spirit is saying, hey, this is a good space to dwell in. Now, let's see whom I can influence. We have so much to give, and our giving is endless as we came from God that is ever abundant. Who is ready out here to receive this energy? Who has a soul that is ripe for this kind of nurturing? Who has the matching need for us right now? That's what new faith is saying. New faith expands your mind and creates within a no-limit mentality. I'm telling you. You become unstoppable and determined to succeed. Your spirit goes out before you and like an aura and affects others as they notice something about you that seems intriguing and attractive. You carry an aura of confidence and security, which is attractive to employers, corporations, business ventures, and also in marriages. You see, optimism, becomes your creed, and serving others becomes a priority for you. In serving others, your own faith increases along with your resources. Yeah. Ooh, everybody got that? Man. Yeah, so we're here to help improve other people's lives. Again, like for all those listening on Switchboard, I appreciate that. If you want to be a part of the conversation or you got to just hit number one on your telephone and I'll bring you in, okay? All right, very important. I got to say that every so often. A lot of times people have questions and don't know how to get them answered or to present them, all right? So, yeah, so serving others is very important. That's why we're here, you know, to do that. Being God-conscious, you're going to think and act as if you're on camera and everything you do is on record, because it really is. Oh, yeah, I call it the security. Security camera, divine security camera, yeah. So believers know that the divine security camera and microphone are always running, recording every event. There is no place where we can hide. We can't go in a back alley sometime with our little brown paper bag and take a drink, thinking that no one will see us and continue to talk clean while living dirty. We can't harbor those jealous thoughts, angry thoughts, hatred thoughts, and thoughts of getting high, and ego-centered thoughts, and justify to ourselves, well, I didn't act on those thoughts and create harm to anyone. I didn't tell those thoughts to anyone, so it's okay. You are putting a burden on your mind and your soul. Your soul is very precious and should have all the considerations we can give it. When we harbor deleterious thoughts, harmful thoughts, we only do harm and disrespect to that inner child. We can't keep those thoughts chained up in one place. All thoughts are energy, and energy will not rest in just one place. You know that. Ah, now we deposit love, and that is what we give back. Mm-hmm. When love is demonstrated easily and naturally, it is because thoughts of love were already planted with that inner child. Yeah. Being God conscious, we are going to monitor our thoughts on a regular basis and be more conscious that we are acting more from our rational thinking versus our emotional responding. Remember I talked about that brain? You got two-thirds based on emotions. An instinct, with only one-third of the front part, the prefrontal cortex, is a source of logic, reasoning, discernment. See? We don't automatically go in the front. We automatically hang out in the back. Yeah. Where our lower selves reside. We have to constantly push toward the front. Yeah, I'm telling you, real important. See, we have to live a conscious life. A conscious life. Many of us are living unconscious lives. We wonder why results are not the results we really want for ourselves. We wonder, you know, about that, you know? Yeah. We have, again, in marriage, you got to have a conscious marriage. You can't, brothers, you know, you can't say, well, I'm married now. I don't have to keep focusing on marriage. I can do my own thing. Watch the game, you know, and eat and, you know, clean up after myself and kind of keep going and make sure the car is okay. I don't have to. That's all I got to do. Wrong, not. If you're a conscious husband, it's another job. You got to be always thinking about what's going on with her. What can I do to make her smile today? How can I ease her load today, ease her burden today? Huh? How can I make her be a little more in love with me today? How can I make her, you know, think about me in a more loving fashion today? What can I do to make her happier today? And sisters, same thing. Yeah, you know? So it's very important to understand that. Yeah, what I'm saying there. So we always got to have that in mind. What can we do to make them happier today? You know, so have that in mind all the time. You know. Now, we cannot carry this message to humanity if it is evident that all 12 principles are not internalized. Now, I always tell people all the time that if you haven't heard the other programs, go back in the archives. Go to blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred. Imam Alfred, and scroll down to hear the other installments. This is part 20. We'll have number 21 next week. Okay? Yeah. So you have to internalize these principles. We have to accept the whole package and not just the parts that we can digest at the moment. That's all, look, it's okay to say, I'm not ready for number four, number five, but I can handle seven and eight. You can say it, that's okay. Just know that you have to go back and keep chewing that pill till it goes down. All right? We have to accept the whole concept, even when certain principles are very challenging for us to emulate. Do we have to have a warm welcome mat for all these principles in our soul? Only when all 12 principles are creating new energy within and great transformation has taken place can we be in a position of modeling and mentoring a joyous married life to others. You know? Yeah, it's very important. Okay? All right, now, you know, there's one caveat here. You know, on the way to really demonstrating all this, you know, we're always in a position. Don't think you can't help anybody because you haven't made it all the way. Look, like I said, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, when you learn one letter, teach that. No matter what you're learning, you know, hey, pass it along. Pass it along. It's okay. We should do that. Yeah, for sure, okay? Yeah. You know? So always have in mind that as we climb up the ladder, we pull others up with us. It's not about, you know, stepping on anybody. We as we climb up, we pull up. As we climb up, we pull up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we are modeling the whole program in our view by others as an example of one who has come through the transforming portal and one who can look we can look upon as a recovery success story. Yeah, for sure. All right. Now, when we read, begin practicing these principles in all our affairs, you see the answer as to how you are to carry this message to humanity. You see it right there. You have to live this new way of life, you know, Muslims call it al-Islam, all right? You can also call it sobriety by following, accepting these principles deep within and acting in a way that demonstrates that you have these principles solidly implanted into your consciousness. Yeah. You have to live these principles, and anybody observing you for any length of time can bear witness to the new you. They see a consistent pattern of behavior that is opposite of how you used to act. Man, hear that. What's the magic word here? Consistency. Being congruent what you say and what you do. Consistency. Some of us have names like Yahya Muhammad. We're Joe Williams in the street. We act like Joe Williams out there instead of Yahya. You know? Don't do that. Be the same. You know, God says, do not be divided within yourself. Don't divide yourself up. Be one. Be one. See? Because when you are really changed, when you really kind of go through that portal and you're okay now, and you know, say you have a history of bad marriages, bad relationships, then now you realize what you gotta do. You reconcile your life, you heal those old wounds, you've done that. Your hobbies might be different. Your circle of friends is different. Your language is different. Your style of clothes might even be different. See? Your chosen type of women or men are different. The food choices you have now are more international. Yeah, like myself, I love hummus and tabbouleh and falafels. I don't know what those foods were before. It tastes good. But I have hummus every day. That's my little snack in the afternoon. I love it. Yeah. Your conversation is definitely different. Your general understanding and problem solving is different. Your whole demeanor is different. Yeah. Yeah, people are most influenced by the example that they are witnessing versus the rhetoric that they hear. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, hey, again, you know, it has a lot of everything to do with healthy marriages. Because sisters, they don't want to hear you say one thing and see doing something else. That's why sisters are always directed to watch their man. Just kind of pay attention to what he does. Forget what he sees. See what he does. See if he really comes through. See if he is really going to provide and maintain. You know? Brothers do the same way. It's on both sides now. See, many people are looking for another way to live life because they know that there has to be a different way than the life they're used to. I'm telling you, I'm talking about bringing people into this way of life, in your particular religious community, same thing. We call it dawah in Islam. Means you're really trying to demonstrate what you have in your religion, your way of life, and you want people to see the greatness and benefit for themselves and come into the fold. Folks are open for change and are eager for someone to come along and show them an alternative lifestyle. With the status quo in the world of corruption, theft, homicides, infidelity in relationships, lies, and immorality, people are looking for someone to show them a way out. It is a very easy mission to carry this message to humanity when the current messages that are presented today have no or very little desirable results. It's very important. See, I was so moved by my own personal experience in this, in the, when I'm with the 12 steps, because I was addicted myself. I was using drugs and selling them too. Oh yeah, I was doing all that. I came through that portal and I said, no more. I want a different life. Became a Muslim and gave my life to serving others. See, I too in professional positions that allowed me to be in a directing, teaching, or coordinating role, so I could teach these principles to others and get paid. Yeah, that's important. For my entire semi-adult and young mid-20s life, I had only one thing that I was ever going to do, and that was to play music professionally, and I still do it right now. There was nothing you could tell me that would make me think otherwise. I dream music. I ate music. I'm a jazz musician now. Most of y'all know that. I wrote mass music. I worked music. Playing in the band was paradise for me. I saw nothing else in life that I remotely wanted to do. But as I went through the 12 principle program, I went through the 12 principle program, I started having different visions of my life. So when your self-esteem, self-image, and self-worth all start rising, you will look into the mirror and see a new person with different life possibilities and probabilities. You will see a whole new world available for you. There will be life vocations that you never would have considered before. When you start thinking outside of yourself and let the spirit of empathy come in, your mind starts turning differently. Now, you start thinking about how you can make changes so people can benefit and experience the rewards of life instead of the punishments of life. You start asking yourself, what can I do to make someone else's life more meaningful? What can I do to show someone a different way to live life so that life has real purpose for them? What can I do for our children to raise their self-esteem levels so they won't have to fall in the black holes that I fell into? How can I put in place a model of recovery and a platform for our youth, other troubled young ones? How can I help parents raise their kids differently? How can I do that? How can I, show others how to have healthy marriages? How can I do that? It's so very important. So very important to understand that. Okay? All right, we're gonna take a little pause right there. I've been talking a lot. Matter of fact, I'm getting a little hoarse. I'm looking for my glass of water or my white tea right now. I make a special blend of white tea, ginger, peppermint, yerba mate. Oh, very good. Very good. And it's very good for energy. I'm gonna stop right there. I'm Nazim Rashid, Nazim Abdul Rashid. And I have my own show called The Reconnected Show. It comes on every Saturday at 1 o'clock. It's time did change. 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona time, I think 10 o'clock Pacific time. You can just set your phone, or your timer, to ring at 1 o'clock. And dollars number, a lot of y'all like to call in. 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. And I have guests that come on every week. Like, this is why I'm so glad that, you know, Alfred Muhammad gave me his Wednesday slot, I thank him for this opportunity. This way I can talk and you can hear what I'm about. Whereas on Saturday, I let others talk. I don't say much of anything. I just play the host. So it's good. So it's called the Reconnect the Show, and I have a host. I mean, I am the host. And we talk about various personal growth issues that help us become human. Help us to become human. Love is a loss of humanity. So all about helping us to become human. Very important. So that's every Saturday there. Okay. And if you go online, it's the same network as this one. blogtalkradio.com/reconnected. Just remember reconnected. /reconnected. Okay. Like my book, Reconnected. All right. Get my website after the three W's we have. cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. All right, very important. It's important for us to have a good life. You know, stop accepting the dark life that you're living now. Poverty life, no money, can't find anybody, bad marriage, bad husband, bad wife. Stop singing the blues. We love the blues, I'm telling you. Throw on some B.B. King, we're fine. Yeah. Even though I do like B.B. King. All right, start living a good, happy life. Smile, laugh, have a good time. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, watch some clean comedy and, you know, enjoy yourself. Enjoy your mate. Enjoy your marriage. And be joyous and happy. All right? Do that. Okay, next week we have part 21, and we're going to start where we left off here, do a little summary like we always do. And I want to talk to you guys, so call me. You know, just hit number one on your telephone, and we can talk a little bit, okay? Email me, nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com, all right? And get the, you know, support me in what I'm doing here, because I can travel. I'm going to travel. I want everybody around the world to understand these reconnected marriages so we can have a good life, a fun life, a connected life, you know, instead of having a dysfunctional life we're living now, okay? Like I talked about affirmations earlier, I have one I created called the Reconnected Creed, okay? And if you email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, I'll send it to you, all right? It's like this. I can create. And I am creating a powerful, passionate, peaceful, positive, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me in excellence, for excellence, and by excellence. His spirit resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly with me being a worthy co-pilot. All great opportunities and material gains are available for my use and enjoyment. I'll be great at anything I choose to do because that's the only position I can take that I will be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I'm a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life that it was only a dream with accomplishment of my goals and joy in my soul, end quote. Oof, all right. With that, I'm going to close the show with how I left it. You know, how I started. I'm sorry. Sometimes these things excite me. All right. So I'll leave with the greetings that only God has. Only God can produce for you greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum.